Welcome to another session of reading Pilgrim's Progress in Modern English. My name is Dr. Jim Phillips, and this comes to you by way of discovertheword.com and New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Tehachapi, California, where I'm pastor. I've read this book to my children as they were growing up, all of them. And they really were thrilled with it. I tried to change it in the English, modern English, as I did that. And now I'm reading it for you. I believe it would be edifying for Christians and for those that do not know the Lord, the dangers of trusting in this world, the dangers of all around us. We're on page 41 in my edition of Pilgrim's Progress. And Christian is running into all types of different characters. Now, Christian is born again. He's saved. He has new life in him. But just because you're a child of God and you're saved does not mean that you will not come to obstacles in your life, to dangerous, dangerous pathways, to dangerous people, to vicious people, to bloodthirsty people. Now, here we go. So the one took the way which is called danger, which led him into the great wood, and the other took directly up to destruction, which led him to a wide field full of dark mountains, where he stumbled and fell and rose no more. I looked then after Christian to see him go up the hill, where I perceived that he fell from running to going, and from going to clambering upon his hands and knees because of the steepness of the place. Now about the midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbor made by the Lord of the hill for the refreshing of the weary travelers. From there Christian got where also he sat down to rest. Then he pulled his roll out of his bosom and read therein to his own comfort. And he also began to afresh to take a review of the coat and garment which was given to him as he stood by the cross. Thus pleasing himself a while, he at last fell into a slumber, and thence into a fast sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night. And in his sleep the roll fell out of his hand. Now as he was sleeping, there came one to him and waked him, saying, Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And with the Christian suddenly started up and sped him on his way and went apace till he came to the top of the hill. And now when he had got to the top of the hill, there came two men running against him amain. The name of one was Timorous, and the name of the other Mistrust. To whom Christian said, Sirs, what's the matter that you run the wrong way? Timorous answered that they were going to the city of Zion and had got up to that difficult place, but said he, that the further we go, the more danger we meet, and wherever we turn, we are going back again. Yes, said Mistrust, for just before us lie a couple of lions in the way, whether sleeping or walking, we do not know. And we could not think, if we came within reach, but they would presently pull us to pieces. Christian said, You make me afraid, but whither shall I fly to be saved? If I go back to my own country that is prepared for fire and brimstone, I shall certainly perish there. And if I can go on to the celestial city, I am sure to be in safety there. And I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death, and everlasting life beyond that. I will go yet forward. So Mistrust and Timorous ran down the hill, and Christian went on his way, but thinking again of what he heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his roll, that he might read therein and be comforted, but he felt and found it not. Then was Christian in great distress, and knew not what to do, for he wanted that which used to relieve him, and that which should have been in his path into the celestial city. Here, therefore, he began to be much perplexed and knew not what to do. At last, he thought in himself that he had slept in the arbor, and that is on the side of the hill. And falling down upon his knees, he asked God for forgiveness for that his foolish fact. And then went back to look for his roll. But all the way he went back, who can sufficiently set forth sorrow of Christian's heart? Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept, sometimes he chided himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in a place which was erected only for a little refreshment from weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that, and all the way that he went, he happily he might find his roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey. And he went thus till he came again, side of the arbor, and where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed with sorrow the more by bringing again, even afresh, his evil of sleeping into his mind. And thus, therefore, he now went on bewailing his sinful sleep and saying, O wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, that I should so indulge the flesh as to use that rest for ease to my flesh, which the Lord of the hill hath erected only for the relief of spirit of the spirits of pilgrims. How many steps have I taken in vain? Thus it happened to Israel for their sin, and they were sent back again into the way of the Red Sea. And I am made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight. How it not had been for this sinful sleep, how far might I have been on my way by this time? I am made to tread those steps thrice over, which I needed not, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept. Now by this time he was come to the arbor again, and where for a while he sat and wept, but at last, as Christian would have it, looking sorrowfully down under the cedar, there he espied his roll, which he with trembling and haste catched up and put into his bosom. But who can tell how joyful this man was when he had gotten his roll again? For his roll was the assurance of his life and acceptance of his desired heaven. Therefore he laid it upon his bosom and gave thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy of tears betook himself again to his journey. But oh, how nimbly now he did go up the rest of the hill. Yet before he got up to the sun, went down on Christian. And this made him again recall the vanity of his sleeping to his remembrance, and thus he again began to condole himself. Oh, you sinful sleep, how for your sake I am like to be benighted in my journey. I must walk without the sun. Darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep. Now also he remembered the story that Mistrust and Timorous told him of how they were frighted with the sight of the lion. Then said Christian to himself again, these beasts range in the night for their prey, and if they should meet me with the dark, how shall I shift them? How shall I escape being by them torn to pieces? Thus he went on his way, but while he was thus bewailing his unhappy miscarriage, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful, and it stood just by the highway side. So I saw in my dream, and he made haste and went forward to that, if possible, that he might get lodging there. And now, before he had gone far, he entered into a very narrow passage, which was about a furlong off of the porter's lodge, looking very narrow before him as he went, and he saw two lions in the way. Now I thought, I see the dangers that Mistrust and Timorous were driven back by, and the lions were chained, but he saw not the chain. Then he was afraid and thought also himself to go back after them, for he thought nothing but death was before him. But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt, as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying, is thy strength so small? Fear not the lion, for they are chained, and are placed there for trial of faith, for it is, and for its discovery of those that have none. Keep in the midst of the path, and not hurt, and no hurt shall come unto you. Then I saw that he went on, trembling for the fear of the lions. But taking good heed to the directions of the porter, and he heard them roar, but they did not him no harm. Then he clapped his hands and went on until he came and stood before the gate where the porter was. Then said Christian to the porter, "Sir, what house is this? And may I lodge here tonight?" The porter answered, "The house was built by the Lord of the hill, and he built it for the relief and security of these pilgrims." The porter also asked where he was and where he was going. "Where did you come from and where are you going?" "I am come from the city of destruction. I am going to Mount Zion. But because the sun is now set, I desire I may lodge here tonight." The porter said, "What is your name?" "My name is Christian." "My name is now Christian. But my name at first was Graceless. I came to the race of Japheth, whom God will persuade to dwell in the tents of Shem. But how did it happen that you came so late? The sun is set." Christian said, "I had been here sooner, but that wretched man that I am, I slept in the arbor that stands on the hillside, and I, notwithstanding that, have been here much sooner, but in my sleep I lost my evidence and came without it to the brow of the hill, and then feeling for it, finding it not, I was forced with sorrow in my heart to go back to the place where I slept in my sleep, where I found it, and now I am come." The porter said, "Well, I will call out one of the virgins of this place, who will, if she likes your talk, bring you in to the rest of the family according to the rules of the house." So watchful, the porter rang a bell, and at sound of which came out the door of the house and gave a grave and beautiful damsel named Discretion, and asked why she was called. The porter answered, "This man is on a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion. But being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him I would call for you, who, after discourse had with him, may do as seems good to you, even according to the law of the house." Then she asked him, "Where did he come from and where he was going?" And as he told her, she asked him also how he got into the way, and he told her. Then she asked him what he had seen and met on the way, and he told her. And last she asked his name, so he said, "It is Christian. And I have so much the more to desire to lodge here tonight, because by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the hill for the relief of the security of the pilgrims." So she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes, and after a little pause, she said, "I will call forth two or three more of the family." So she ran to the door and called out Prudence, Piety, and Charity, who, after a little more discourse with him, had led him into the family. And many of them, meeting him at the threshold of the house, said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. The house was built by the Lord of the hill on the purpose to entertain such pilgrims in. Then he bowed his head and followed them into the house. So when he had come in and sat down, they gave him something to drink. Consented together that until supper was ready, some of them should have some particular conversation with Christian for the best improvement of time, and they appointed Piety and Prudence and Charity to discourse with him, and thus they began to talk. "Piety, come, Christian, come, good Christian, since we have been so loving to you, to receive you into our house this night, let us, if perhaps we may better ourselves thereby, talk with you of all the things that have happened to you in your pilgrimage." Christian, with a very good will, "And I'm going that you are so well disposed." Piety, "What moved you first to betake yourself to a pilgrim's life?" Christian said, "I was driven out of my native country by a dreadful sound that was in my own ears, to wit, that unavoidable destruction did attend me if I abode in that place where I was, but," and Piety says, "but how did you happen that you came out of your country this way? It was a good God. It was good. It was as good God would have it. For when I was under the fears of destruction, I did not know where to go. But by chance there came a man even to me, as I was trembling and weeping, whose name was Evangelist, and he directed me to the wicket gate. The wicket gate, the narrow gate, which also I should never have found, and so set me on the way that hath led me directly to this house. Piety said, but did you not come by the house of the interpreter? Christian said, yes, and did see such things there that remembrance of which will stick by me as long as I live, especially three things, to wit, how Christ, in despite of Satan, maintains his work of grace in the heart, how the man has sinned himself quite out of the hopes of God's mercy, and also that the dream of him that thought in his sleep the day of judgment was come. Petey said, why? Did you hear him tell his dream? Christian, yes. And a dreadful one it was. I thought it made my heart ache as he was telling of it, but yet I am so glad that I heard it. Petey asked, was that all that you saw at the house of the interpreter? And Christian said, no. He took me and had me where he showed me a stately palace, and how the people were clad in gold and that were in it, and how there came a venturous man and cut his way through the armed men that stood in the door to keep him out, and how he was bid to come in when win eternal glory. I thought those things did ravish my heart. I would have stayed at that good man's house a 12 months, but that I knew I had to go further. Piety says, and what saw you else in that way? Christian said, why, Saul? Why, I went but a little further, and I saw one, as I thought in my mind, hang bleeding upon the tree, and the very sight of him made my burden fall off my back. For I groaned under the heavy burden, but then it fell down from off of me, and 'twas a strange thing to me. For I never saw such a thing before. Yes, and while I was stood looking up, for then I could not forbear looking, three shining ones came to me, and one of them testified that my sins were forgiven. Another stripped me of my rags and gave me this broidered coat which you see. And the third set the mark which you see in my forehead and gave me this sealed roll. And with that he plucked it out of his bosom. But you saw more than this, did you not? The things that I have told you were the best. Yet some other matters I saw, as namely I saw three men, simple, sloth, and presumption, lie asleep a little while on the way as I came with irons upon their heels. But do you think that I could wake them? I only saw Formalists and Hypocrisy come trembling over the wall to go as they pretended to Zion. But they were quickly lost, even as I myself did tell them, but they would not believe. But above all, I found it hard work to get up this hill and hard to come by the lion's mouth. And truly, if it had not been for the good man, the porter that stands at the gate, I do not know but what, after all, that I might have come back again. But now I thank God I am here, and I thank you for receiving me. Then Prudence thought good to ask him a few questions, and desired his answer to them. Do you not think sometimes the country from where you came? Yes, but with much shame and detestation. Truly, if I had been mindful of that country from where I came out, I might have had opportunity to have returned, but now I desire a better country that is in heavenly. Prudence said, do you not bear away with you some of the things that then you were conversant withal? Christian said, yes, but greatly against my will, especially my inward and carnal cognitions, with which all of my countrymen as well as myself were delighted. And now all these things are my grief, and might I but choose mine own way. My own things I would choose, never to think of those things more. Never again. But when I would be doing that which is best, that which is worst in me comes to the top. Prudence, do you not find sometimes, if those things were vanquished, which at other times are your perplexity? Christian said, yes, but that is but seldom. But they are to me golden hours in which such things happen to me. Prudence said, can you remember but what means you find your own annoyances at times if they were vanquished? Christian, yes, when I think that I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I look upon my broidered coat, that will do it. And also when I look at the roll that I carry in my bosom, that will do it. And when my thoughts wax warm about whether I'm going, that will do it. Prudence says, what is it that makes you so desirous to go to Mount Zion? Why, there I hope to see him alive that did hang dead upon the cross. And there I hope to be rid of all those things that to this day are in me annoyance to me. There they say there is no death, and there I shall dwell with such company as I like best. For to tell you the truth, I love him because I was by him eased of my burden, and I am weary of my inward sicknesses. I would fain be where I shall die no more, and with the company that I shall continually cry, holy, holy, holy. Then said Charity to Christian, have you a family? Are you married, man? I have a wife and four small children. And why do you not bring them along with you? Then Christian wept and said, oh, how willingly I would I have done it. But they were all of them utterly averse to my going on this pilgrimage. Charity said, but you should have talked to them and have endeavored to have shown them the danger of being behind. Christian said, I did, and told them also what God had showed me of the destruction of our city. But I seemed to them as one who mocked, and they believed me not. And did you pray to God that he would bless your counsel to them? Christian said, yes, and that with much affection. For you must think that my wife and four children were very dear unto me. Charity says, but did you tell them of your own sorrow, of fear of destruction? For I suppose that destruction was visible enough to you. Christian says, yes, over and over and over, that might also see my fears and my conscience and my tears, and also in my trembling under the apprehension of the judgment that did hang over our heads, but all was not sufficient to prevail with them to come with me at all. Charity said, but what could they say for themselves? Why did they not come? My wife was afraid of losing this world, and my children were given to the foolish delights of you. So what by one thing and by another they left me to wander in this manner alone. Charity says, but did you not with your vain life damp all that you by the words used by the way of persuasion to bring them away with you? Christian said, indeed, I cannot commend my life, for I am conscious to myself many failings. Therein I know also that a man by his conversation may soon overthrow what by argument or persuasion he does labor to fasten upon others for their good. Yet this I can say, I was very wary of giving them occasion by an unseemly action to make them averse to going on a pilgrimage. Yes, for this very thing would tell me I was too precise, and that I denied myself of sins for their sakes, in which they saw no evil. No, I think I may say that if what they saw in me did hinder them, it was my great tenderness in sinning against God, or of doing any wrong to my neighbor. Charity asked him, indeed, Cain hated his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And if your wife and children have been offended with you for this, they therefore show themselves to be implacable to good, and you have delivered your soul from their blood. Now I saw in my dream that thus they sat talking together until supper was ready. And so when he had made ready, they sat down to dinner. Now the table was furnished with fat things, with wine that was well refined. And all their talk at the table was about the Lord of the hill, and namely about what he had done, and wherefore he did what he did, and why he had built this house. And he fought with the slain him that had the power over death, but now without a great danger to, but not without a great danger to himself, which made me love him even more. For as he said, and as I believe, said Christian, he did it with a loss of much blood. But that which put glory and grace into all he did was that he did it for the pure love of his country. And besides, there were some of them of the household that said that they had seen and spoke with him since he did die on the cross, and that they have attested that he did it with his own lips, and he is such a lover of poor pilgrims that that the like is not to be found from the east to the west. They moreover gave an instance of what they affirmed that he was, and he stripped himself of all his glory that he might do this for the poor. That he heard him say and affirm that he did not dwell in Mount Zion alone, and they said moreover that he had made many pilgrims princes, though by nature were beggars born, and their original had been the dunghill. Their origin had been the dunghill. Thus they discoursed together till late night. After they had committed themselves to the Lord for protection, they betook themselves to rest. And Pilgrim they laid in a large upper chamber, whose window opened towards the sun rising. And the name of the chamber was Peace, where he slept till the break of day. And then he awoke and sang, where I am now is the love and care of Jesus for the men that pilgrims are, thus to provide that I should be forgiven and dwell safely the next door to heaven. Dwell already next door to heaven. So in the morning they all got up, and after some more discourse, they told him that he should not depart till he had showed him the rarities of that place. And at first they had him into the study, where they showed him records of the greatest antiquity, in which, as I remember my dream, they showed him first the pedigree of the Lord of the hill, that he was the son of the Ancient of Days and came by the eternal creation generation. Here also was more fully recorded the acts that he had done, and the names of many hundreds that he had taken into his service, and how that he had placed them in such habitations that could never, yet neither by length of days nor decays of nature, be dissolved. Then they read to him some of the worthy acts that some of his servants had done, and how they had subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of the wickedness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Then they read again another part of the records of the house, where it was showed how willing the Lord was to receive into his favor any, though they in times past had offered great affronts to his person and proceedings. I think even an atheist could be saved. Here also were several other histories, and many other famous things, on all of which Christian had a view. And as the things, both ancient and modern, together with the prophecies and the predictions of things that have their certain accomplishment, but to the dread and amazement of enemies of that comfort and the solace of the pilgrims. The next day they took him and had him into the armory, where they showed him all the manner of furniture which their Lord had provided for pilgrims, as a sword, a shield, a helmet, and a brass plate, all prayer and shoes that would not wear out. And there was there enough of this to harness out as many men for the service of the Lord as there are stars in the heaven for a multitude. They also showed him some of the engines with which some of the servants had done without wandering things. They showed him Moses' rod, the hammer and the nail which Jael slew of Sisera, and the pitchers and the trumpets and the lights too, which Gideon had put to flight the armies of Midian. Then they showed him the ox's goad wherewith the Shanger slew 600 men. And they showed him also the jaw of the bone which Samson did so many mighty feats, and showed him moreover the sling and the stone with which David slew Goliath and Gath. And the sword also with which the Lord will kill the man of sin in the day that he shall rise up to the prey. They showed him besides many excellent things with which Christian was much delighted, and this done, they went on their rest again. Then I saw in my dream that the next day he got up to go forwards, but they desired him to stay till the next day also, and then said, We will, if the day be clear, show you the delicate mountains, the delectable mountains, which they said would yet further add to his comfort, because they were nearer the desired haven than the place where at present he was. So he consented and stayed. When the morning was up, they had him to the top of the house and bid him to look south. So he did, and behold, a great distance he saw a very pleasant mountainous country, beautiful with woods and vineyards and fruits of all sorts, flowers also with springs and fountains, very delectable to behold. Then he asked the name of the country, and they said it was Emmanuel's land. In it as common, said they, as this hill is to and for all the pilgrims. And when you come there from here, they said, you may see to the gate of the celestial city as the shepherds that live there will make appear. Now he thought of setting forward, and they were willing he should. But at first they said, let us go again into the armory. And so they did. And when he came there, they harnessed him from head to foot with what was proof, lest perhaps they should meet with assailants on the way. He being therefore thus accounted and walked out with his hands to the gate, there he asked the porter if he saw any pilgrim pass this way. Then the porter said, yes. Christian said, pray, I beg, did you know him? He said, the porter said, I asked his name, and he told me it was Faithful. Christian said, I know him. He is my townsman, my near neighbor. He comes from the place where I was born, and how far do you think he may be before me? He has got by this time below the hill. Well, said Christian, good porter, the Lord be with you, and add to all your blessings much increase for the kindness that you have shown to me. Then he began to go forward, but discretion, piety, and charity, prudence, would accompany him down to the foot of the hill. So they went on together, reiterating the former discourses till they came to down the hill. Then said Christian, as it was difficult coming up, so as far as I can see, it is a dangerous going down. Yes, said Prudence, so it is, for it is a hard matter for a man to go down into the valley of humiliation. as you now are. And to catch no slip by the way, therefore said they, are we come out to accompany you down the hill? So he began to go down, but very warily yet he be caught and slipped too. Then I saw in my dream that these good companions, when Christian was gone down to the bottom hill, gave him a loaf of bread, a bottle of wine, a cluster of raisins, and then he went on his way. But now, in this valley of humiliation, poor Christian was hard put to it. For he had gone but a little way before he espied a fool, fiend, coming over the field to meet him, and his name was Apollyon. Apollyon. And Apollyon means destruction, by the way. Then did he, Christian, begin to be afraid and cast in his mind whether to go back or to stand his ground. But he considered again that he had no armor for his back, and therefore thought to turn back might give him greater advantage with ease to pierce him with his darts. Therefore he resolved to venture and to stand his ground. For he said, and he thought, had I no more in my own eye, the saving of my life would be the best way to stand. So he went on. Apollyon met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish, and they are his pride. And he had wings like a dragon and feet like a bear. And out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And when he came up to Christian, he beheld him with disdainful countenance, and thus began to question him. Where do you come? Where do you come from? And where are you going? I am come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and am going to the city of Zion. By this I perceive that you are one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince and the god of it. How is it that then that you have run away from my king? Why have you run away from your king? Were it not that I hope you may do me more service, I would strike you now at one blow to the ground. I was born indeed in your dominions, but your service was hard and your wages such as a man cannot live on. For the wages of sin is death, and therefore I was come this 2 years. I did as other considerate persons do, look out, yet perhaps that I might mend myself. Apollyon says, there is no prince that will thus lightly lose his subjects. Neither will I yet lose you. But since you complain of your service and wages, be content. Go back. What our country will afford, I do here promise to give to you. Christian says, I have let myself to another, even to the king of princes, and how can I with fairness go back with you? Apollyon says, you have done this according to the proverb, changed bad for worse. But it is ordinary for those that have professed themselves his servants after a while to give him the slip and return again to me. Do you so too, and shall be well. Christian says, I have given him my faith and sworn my allegiance to him. How then can I go back from this and not be hanged as a traitor? Apollyon says, you did the same to me, and yet I'm willing to pass by all, if you now will yet turn again and go back to my kingdom. Christian says, what I promised you was my nonage. And besides, I count that the prince under whose banner now I stand is able to absolve me, yes, to pardon also what I do as to my compliance with you. And besides, oh, you destroying Apollyon, to speak truth, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his government, his company, his country better than yours, and therefore leave off, persuade me for no further, for I am the servant, and I will follow him. Apollyon says, consider again what you are in cool blood, what you are like to meet with all the way that you go. You know that for the most part, his servants come to all ill end because they are transgressors against me and my ways. How many of them have been put to shameful deaths? And besides, you count your service better than mine? Whereas he never came yet from the place where it is to deliver any that served him out of our hand. And but as for me, how many times, as all the world very well knows, have I delivered, either by power or fraud, those who have faithfully served me from him and his thought, though taken by them, so I will deliver you. Christian says, his patience at present to deliver them is on a purpose to try their love. Whether they will cleave to him in the end, as for the ill end, you say they come to. That is most glorious in their account. For present deliverance, they do not much expect it, for they stay their glory, and then they shall have it when the prince comes in his and the glory of the angels. Apollyon says, you have already been unfaithful to my service, to him. And how do you think to receive wages of him? Christians, wherein, O Apollyon, have I been unfaithful to him? You did faint at the first setting out, and when you were almost choked in the gulf of despond, and you did attempt wrong ways to be rid of the burden, whereas you should have stayed till the prince had taken it all. You did sinfully sleep and lose your choice thing, and you were almost persuaded to go back at the sight of the lions. And when you talked of your journey and what you had heard and seen, you are inwardly desirous of vainglory in all that you say and do. All that is true, and much more which you have left out. But the prince whom I serve and honor is merciful and ready to forgive. But besides, his infirmities possessed me in your country, for there I sucked them in, and I have groaned under them, been sorry for them, and have obtained pardon from my prince. Apollyon says, then Apollyon broke out in a grievous rage, saying, I am an enemy to this prince. I hate his person, I hate his laws, I hate his people. I came out on purpose to withstand you. Christian said, Apollyon, beware what you do, for I am in the king's highway. The way of holiness, therefore, take heed to yourself. Then Apollyon straddled quite over the whole breadth of the way and said, I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare yourself to die. For I swear by my infernal den that you shall go no further here. I will spill your soul. And with that he threw a flaming dart at his breast. But Christian had a shield in his hand by which he caught it and so prevented the danger of that. Then did Christian draw, for he was Saul. It was time to bestir him. And the Apollyon, as fast as he made at him, throwing darts as thick as hail, by the which, notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollyon wounded him in his head, and his hand and his foot. This made Christian give a little back. Apollyon, therefore, followed his work amain, and Christian again took courage and resisted as manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for above half a day, until Christian was almost quite spent. For you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, needs to grow weaker and weaker. Then Apollyon, understanding his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian and wrestle with him and give him a dreadful fall. And with that, Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then he said, Apollyon, I am sure of thee now. With that, he had almost pressed him to death. so that Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching of his last blow, thereby he to make a full end of the good man, Christian nimbly reached out for his hand for his sword and caught it, saying, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise." And with that he gave him a deadly thrust, which made him get back as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And with that, Apollyon spread out his dragon's wings and sped away, that Christian saw him no more. We've all met the devil, haven't we? We've all met him and his devices. In this combat, no man can imagine, unless he has seen and heard, as I did, what yelling and hideous roaring Apollyon made at the time of the fight. And he spoke like a dragon. Along the other side, what sighs and groans brassed from Christian's heart. I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look, till he perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword. Then he did smile and look upward, but was the dreadfulest sigh that ever I saw. So when the battle was over, Christian said, "I will give thanks to him that hath delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, to him that did help me against Apollyon." So he did the same, "Great Beelzebub, the captain of this fiend, designed my ruin, therefore, to this end. He sent him harnessed out, and he with rage that hellish was did fiercely me engage. But blessed Michael helped me, and I by dint of the sword did quickly make him fly. Therefore to him let me give everlasting praise, and thank and bless his holy name always." And there came to him a hand with some of the leaves of the tree of life, he which Christian took and applied to the wounds that he had received in the battle. And he was healed immediately. He also sat down in that place and ate bread and drank of the bottle that was given to him a little before. So being refreshed, he addressed himself to his journey, with his sword drawn in his hand. For he said, "I know not, but some other enemy may be at hand." But he met with no other affront from Apollyon quite through his valley. Now at the end of this valley was another valley of the shadow of death. And Christian must needs go through it, because the way of the celestial city had laid through the midst of it. Now this valley is a very solitary place. The prophet Jeremiah thus described as a wilderness and a land of deserts and a pits and a land of drought. And as the shadow of death, a land that no man but a Christian passed through, wherein no man dwelt. Now, therefore, a Christian was worse put to it than in his flight from Apollyon, as by the sequel you shall see. I saw then in my dream that the Christian was got to the borders of the shadow of death. And that's where we will quit, right there. Our Heavenly Father, we send these words of wisdom out. We send these out to those that are in trials and temptations, to those, Father, that have met the devil and all of his devices, that you give them strength and courage to go on with the sword of the Spirit and the knowledge that you love them. Father, forgive me where I failed you. Help me to glorify and honor you with my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me send you one more time to Ephesians 2:8-10. "For it is by free grace and unmerited favor that you are saved and delivered from the judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do these good works with which God hath predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he had prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Remember also that once you were Gentiles, heathens, called in uncircumcision by those who called themselves circumcision, itself a mere mark in the flesh made by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge or right in God's agreement of his covenants, and you had no hope, no promise. You were in a world without God, and now in Christ Jesus, you who once were made far off by the blood of Christ have been brought near. We send this